Matthew 2, starting with verse 1. Matthew 2, starting with verse 1. Says, now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Then when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you today. We ask your forgiveness where we failed you. Please strengthen us and help us do your will. Help us worship as you see fit. And please let me preach your message as you want it done. Forgive us where we failed you and help us always to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we see two distinct characteristics of people in the Christmas story. Now, in all honesty, these two distinct characteristics you can find throughout life. The two characteristics you find here are the wicked and the wise, which incidentally is the name of the sermon. The wicked and the wise. We see King Herod, who we will talk about more in a moment. He would be an example of the wicked. And the wise men, well, that's kind of obvious, isn't it? That's why we call them wise men, isn't it? What about the shepherds? Wise. They did what God told them to do. And you can look at, throughout Jesus' life, you had the wicked and the wise. You had the Pharisees, wicked. You had the disciples, wise. Judas, wicked. Iscariot, wicked. You had many. Well, we still have that today. You have two groups of people. You have the wicked and the wise. And I'll be honest with you. We all start life wicked. Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all start life wicked. But the wise man will do what these wise men did and come to Jesus. So let's look now at the wicked and the wise. Let's start with verse 1 again and take it a bit by bit here. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. It doesn't say how far, you know, how far east they were. It doesn't say. But something tells me it took them a little bit to get there. It reminds me of in our Job series, you know, his friends went from a distance. When the wise men heard that Jesus came, they came. And the wise men said, verse 2, it says, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Where is he that is born King of the Jews? You know, they were not mistaken. They were a little, what you call anachronistic, which means they were a little out of time. He would not be the official King of the Jews until, well, it's still coming. But he will sit on the throne of David one day and be not only the King of the Jews, but the King of the world. And I'm ready. I'm ready for that. But can you imagine the King of the Jews? Actually, the King of the... And can you imagine hearing somebody go, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" And you think, "Wait a minute, I'm King of the Jews." Can you imagine? Now, a wise man would rejoice that this Messiah has come, but Herod was not a wise man. Herod was cunning, but he was wicked. And verse 3 says, "When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." Herod was troubled. Why was Herod troubled? Because Herod wanted to keep his power. That's why Herod was troubled. Herod didn't want to lose his throne. So he gathers, and then so he asks all the chief priests, he says, "Where is this Jesus going to be born?" And in verse 5, they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Huh. You mean it wasn't a surprise to God where Jesus was going to be born? It was foretold long before it happened. Which is one reason that we rely on the scripture of God's word. Is because he has proven himself through prophecy. That's just one reason, but that's a good one. So, here we see Herod in verses 7 and 8 here. He says, he called the wise men kind of quietly. And he says, "What time did this star appear?" Now, somebody might ask, why did he want to know that? We will find that out in a little bit. As this story progresses on, we will find out why that's important. But it is important. So he sent them to Bethlehem in verse 8. And he said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come worship him also." Oh, he lied. He lied. Herod had no intention of worshiping Jesus. He lied. As a matter of fact, we know from evidence that Herod's object, his goal, his purpose was to kill Jesus. We know that because look at verse 16. Drop down a little bit to verse 16. It says, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, meaning the wise men didn't do what he wanted, and they didn't come back. He was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time he had diligently inquired of the wise men. So see how that all kind of connects now? When did the star appear? And then Herod does the math. He says, well, if they won't tell me where Jesus is, I'll just kill all the kids that age and young. That's pretty cruel. I would definitely call that wicked. I don't think that there is any kind of a controversy in the fact that what Herod did was wicked. And yet, so many more children are being killed day by day by day by day, second by second, before they're even born. And I call that wicked too. I call that wicked. If Herod killing those 2-year-olds and under is considered wicked, then so is killing the unborn. Herod had the audacity to think he could stop the Messiah. I mean, you gotta think about this. Like, I'm gonna stop God. Oh, no, you're not. But Jesus' family was warned. Go to 13. It says, when they were departed, when the wise men left, angel of the Lord appeared in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. He thought he could stop it. He thought he could kill Jesus. Oh, Jesus would die. He would most definitely die when God's time was come. We look at the deception, the wickedness of the deception of Herod, and how Herod claimed he wanted to worship Jesus. And I have to note that deception should hold no part in the worship of Jesus Christ. None. God's children should be children of truth and light, not deceit and darkness. We must hold to the truth, and this world is full of lies. It's, turn on TV. It's not just in the program, it's in the commercials too. Am I saying throw out your TV? No. I am saying be careful what you watch and be really cautious because things are coming in that you don't know is coming in. But I'm just saying look at the world around us and the evil that's in this world. I mean, if we hold ourselves up to the point that we don't know what the world's saying, how are we going to combat it? Now, I'll tell you this. I'm not saying go watch the dirtiest thing you can find. I'm not saying that. But I don't think hiding under a rock is going to do us any good either. Susan and I were having a conversation just today about how one of the cable channels that was famous for not showing certain lifestyles has just kind of dropped the ball and started showing this certain lifestyle. And Susan told me, she said, well, nowadays you can't avoid it. Used to you could avoid it, now you can't. And she's right. Sins and lifestyle choices that are against God's will are now commonplace. Because the people with the least amount of people are the ones with the loudest voices. Now, I go figure that out. Somebody somewhere ain't doing something. Think about that.
Satan's people have become louder than God's people. Now, you could argue and say there's more of Satan's people. There are, yeah. The Bible says broad is the way that leads to destruction. But I don't know. There are times where I think we drop the ball somewhere. Now, I'll tell you one way we drop the ball. And by we, I mean Christianity in general, not necessarily we here, okay? But as Christians, there have been many Christians that have almost taken a wicked attitude to combat sin. What do you mean? I mean, they'd point in the guy's face and no telling what they'd call him and just cause him all sorts of struggles and troubles. Probably wouldn't have thought to pray for him. Folks, that's not Christian. That's wicked. You know what Jesus said to do about our enemies? He said, love our enemies. He said, pray for our enemies. Why? So that maybe, just maybe, they can find Jesus. Oh, Herod wanted to find Jesus, make no mistake. But he wanted to find Jesus to kill him. This world is full of wicked, wicked people. But then you have the wise men, which is representing the wise. And we see that in verse 2, God gave a sign for them. First of all, we see that the wise men knew that God had the power. Say, how do you know the wise men knew that God had a power? Well, they knew where the sign came from. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. How do they know it was his star? They researched it out. And if they figured out that that was Jesus' star, you know what else they figured out? Who Jesus was. At least enough to figure out they needed to be there. And when God gave a sign for them, they followed it. You know how God gives us signs? See, a lot of times we're like, oh, it's a sign from God. That's between you and the Lord. I want to tell you, the sign from God we need to pay more attention to than any other. And sometimes, by the way, sometimes we need to pay attention to this one, is the one I'm referring to. Sometimes we need to pay attention to it. And throw the other out. Because sometimes we think we've seen a sign from God and God's telling us not to do what we think He's telling us to do. What's the sign of God that we need to pay more attention to? It's God's Word, the Bible. Now, God sent them a visual sign. Now, this looks visual to me. They were diligent in following that star. They were wise and they were diligent in following God. Again, as Christians, many of us have dropped the ball. And we've lost our diligence to seek God. And His will and His word and what He wants of us. And the only way to do that is by prayer and reading the Bible. How did I get... Sorry, my page just turned on me somehow. Matthew chapter 2 is where we are. And I want us to look at verse 9.
When the wise men heard the king, they departed, and the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Why is that important?
You know how many nativity scenes I've seen where the wise men are there? A bunch. I bet y'all have seen a bunch too. I saw one, several. We have one at home. Well, there was somewhere, I forget where we saw it, but you probably remember this. Recently, there was one where the stable and the shepherds and Mary and Joseph were in the under the roof, and the wise men were sitting outside. And I said, maybe the wise men are waiting their 2 years to come in. Because it was probably 1 or 2 years before they ever got there. How do you know that? Because that's why Herod had killed children, male children, 2 years old and younger. It's because he did the math, and based on what the wise men told him, that's what he got. Jesus grew long past two. He grew to live a perfect life, die on the cross, rise from the dead, to purchase the salvation for all who trust in him.
He did not stay a child. He did not stay a baby. It's interesting. I don't think the world has a big problem with the baby Jesus. It's the adult one they have a problem with. His baby didn't preach any sermons. But man, when Jesus, the man, started to preach, it started hurting hearts. Verse 10 says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they found Jesus, they had found great joy. And you know what?
When people encounter the living Son of the living God today, there is still great joy. When they trust Him, there will be those who will encounter the living Son of the living God one day and will not have great joy. Those would be the ones who have not trusted Christ. And as the Bible deems in John 3, they are condemned already.
Let's look at verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. First of all, we see that Jesus was in a house.
So let's not keep him stuck in the stable. goodness, come on, people. It's a feeding trough for crying out loud. That's where the Son of God was placed at his birth. A feeding trough. But he grew. But it doesn't matter where Jesus was. He was still the Savior of the world. He is still the Son of God. He is still God in the flesh today, sitting on the right hand of the Father. So, we don't need to keep Jesus in that manger. Not even on Christmas. By the way, don't need to keep him in that house either, do we? Tell you somewhere else we don't need to keep them, and this is a side note. Do you ever You ever seen people wear these necklaces with little crosses and have Jesus still hanging there? Don't keep Jesus on the cross. He rose from the dead. Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession, which means communicating to God on our behalf for those who trust Him. That's where Jesus is. And He's still there on Christmas. So let's look at these gifts real quick. Gold. Well, maybe the gold would be a testimony of His royalty. We don't know whether this is why they did it, but it's definitely one possibility. Also, a gift like this would, along with the other two gifts, which we're going to talk about, would help Mary and Joseph as they traveled, which they were going to do some traveling, interestingly enough. To Egypt, they would end up going. But now, as I was reading and listening and studying and whatever, I found out that gold, frankincense, and myrrh were actually common trade items of the day. So, somewhat like getting a $50 bill in your Christmas card. Now, I think it was a little more significant than that, but it would help. But gold could very well represent the kingship of Jesus Christ. Another thing I think we need to realize is how far these men traveled to deliver these gifts. Those gifts were far more valuable than just what they were. The heart of the giver was big on that gift. Then we have frankincense. Well, maybe frankincense was to show Jesus' divinity. Frankincense was used in some of the sacrifices that were given to God at the temple. It was one of the incenses that they used to make sacrifices to God. So here, they're giving this incense to God. Isn't that interesting? Then we have myrrh, which is perhaps a testimony of the sufferings Jesus would have to endure. These were learned men. They would have read the prophecies. So they would have known. And then I looked at the Lexham Bible Dictionary, and it had this to say, among other things. According to old Christian traditions, the myrrh symbolized Jesus' death, is what he's saying. Mark notes that that wine mixed with myrrh was offered to Jesus on the cross. Remember the mixture they tried to give him and he didn't want to take it. As we go through Christmas, as we go through the Christmas story, we see two types of people. We see the wicked and the wise. As I go through the entire Bible, I see two types of people, the wicked and the wise. And as I go through life, I see two types of people. I see wicked and I see wise. To be wicked, you have to do absolutely nothing. You're that way from birth. But the wise man will come to Jesus and he will trust him for salvation, for forgiveness of sins. So let's ask ourselves as we go through our day, are we wise or are we wicked?